want to do something a little different, because I don't want to do anything out of my own thing, okay? I never want to act out of my own presumptions. And so all this week, I've got nothing from the Lord. It's awful hard as a pastor, one that does not plan ahead. I don't plan messages. I don't plan for next week. I don't know what I'm going to preach next week. I don't know. I actively move with the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do day to day. And so I'm at Friday. Friday, I get nothing. Wednesday night on prayer time, I get nothing. Friday, I work late on Friday. I didn't even get to go to Melvin's house. And so I woke up Saturday morning with this First Peter on my heart. Where'd that come from? I don't know, except for the Lord. So we're going to talk about First Peter today. But you know, that's one of the hardest things to come in. And I just don't want to come in and perform for you and preach a word for you. But I want to come in and give you a word from the Lord. And that's what I think is going to be happening today, is a word from the Lord. But it's directly from Peter. And so I want to talk a little bit about this morning. My desire is for you to grow. My desire is for you to know the Lord better, stronger, and be actively knowing and in love with the Lord each and every day. So in 1 Peter, Peter was written to the church of Asia Minor, right? Or modern day Turkey. It was written about 62 AD. So Peter's probably 58 to 65 years old in that age group. You know, it was like couple years after he wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter and 3 Peter, after he wrote this, it was a few years later, he was crucified upside down for his faith. Jesus also told Peter that his life's mission would be to strengthen the faith of the believers worldwide. That's what he was told to do. And from the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and he stands up. And he begins to preach this message, and that is reiterated in his spirit to strengthen the church, strengthen the people worldwide, and bring their faith stronger. So he started walking out his mission the day of the Holy Spirit fell. This letter should embolden you to preserve, empower, and overcome. It should encourage you to remain faithful to Christ. If you read this letter, see, the letter is about God and loving him no matter the cost, no matter the cost. So as we read this letter and think about the people in Asia Minor hearing the letter for the first time, listen to this, persecution was heavy. Most people in the area felt pressure of the persecution all around them. They had all been scattered. These people have been scattered. You know, from the time that Jesus' resurrection, from the time of Pentecost happened in Jerusalem, and then the church started to grow, pressure from the Roman Empire, pressure from people all around, pressure from other idols, pressure from the demonic realm started to press in against the church, against the growing church that was happening. And so we know that there was so much persecution that people began to scatter across the land. And so here is Peter in his very end of his life, you would say. He writes this letter and he pens this letter, and he's trying to bring encouragement. He's trying to bring their faith to a standard of strength, because he knows that persecution is happening all across the land. It's all over the earth. It's persecution for the church is all over, because Satan has came up against the church. He said, I'm not going to let this get started. I'm not going to let this get going. And persecution, he was trying to kill them all off. But here's these faithful men, these faithful disciples that pressed in and pressed in and pressed in to the Lord. And they kept sharing the word. They kept sharing God. They kept sharing their experience with Jesus. And all of a sudden, the church is strengthened. And so you think about this, and this is going to be, just think about yourselves if you was in Asia Minor or modern day Turkey today, and here's this letter. And it's like, man, Guys, they come to synagogue, you know, they come and meet. We got a letter from Peter today. You know Peter, you guys remember Peter? These people were scattered in the land, okay? We got a letter from St. Peter. Man, he walked with Jesus. And we got this letter from him today, and here's what it says. Now, I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation just because I want you to hear it from another version. And we're not going to put it on the screen. But if you want to follow in your New King James Bible that's in pews, or follow in your Bible, you may. It's not much difference. It's wording a little more wordier, but I want you to hear it in another form as hearing it for the first time, as they would have heard it for the first time. And this letter was scattered throughout all this Asia Minor. And now we get to grab a hold of this letter ourselves today, and it's still relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. But I'm going to read through 1 Peter 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5. Just listen, this just encourage you. I don't want you to hear my interpretation of the scriptures, but I want you to hear what the Lord says to you today. In verse 1 it says, from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the anointed one, to the chosen ones who have been scattered like seed into the nations, living as refugees in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and throughout the Roman province of Asia and Bithynia. You are not forgotten, for you have been chosen and destined by Father God. The Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus Christ who have been gloriously sprinkled with his blood. May God's delightful grace and peace cascade over you many times over. Verse 3, celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us his extravagant mercy. For his fountain of mercy has given us new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are reborn into a perfect inheritance that can never perish, never be defiled, never be diminished. It is promised and preserved forever in the heavenly realm for you. Could you imagine these people that have been scattered away from their families and scattered across the earth, and they're hearing this letter from Peter to encourage them to say, stand strong. In verse 5 it says, through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. May the thought of this cause you to jump for joy, even though lately you've had to put up with the grief of many trials. But these only reveal the sterling core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes, for even gold is refined by fire. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus, the Anointed One, is revealed. He goes on in verse 8 and he says, you love him passionately, although you have not seen him. But through believing in him, you are saturated with ecstatic joy, indescribably sublime and immersed in glory, for you are reaping the harvest of your faith, the full salvation promised you, your soul's victory. Could you imagine the joy or the strength that they would have from Peter trying to encourage them that you know, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Verse 10, it goes on, the salvation was the focus of the prophets who prophesied of the outpouring of grace that was destined for you. They made a careful search and investigations of the meaning of their God-given prophecies as they probed into the mysteries of who would fulfill them and the time period when it would all take place. The Spirit of the Anointed One was in them and was pointing prophetically to the suffering that Christ was destined to suffer and the glories that would be released afterwards. God revealed to the prophets that their ministry was not for their own benefit, but for yours. And now you have heard these things from the evangelist who preached the gospel to you through the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, the gospel containing wonderful mysteries that even the angels long to get a glimpse of. So then, prepare your hearts and minds for action. Stay alert. Fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. For when Jesus Christ is unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be released to you. As God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know better. Instead, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. For the scripture says, you are to be holy because I am holy. He's telling them to stop living in the past that you lived in. Stop and ignore. Don't ignore that thing. Just get rid of it. And come into the way of living in holiness. Come into the way of living in justice before the Lord. Verse 17. Since you call on him as your heavenly Father that imparted the impartial judge who judged according to each one's work, live each day with holy awe and reverence throughout your time on earth. For you know that the lives were ransomed once for all from the empty and futile way of life handed down from generation to generation. It was not a ransom payment of silver or gold which eventually perishes, but the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb was sacrificed for us. This was part of God's plan. For he was chosen, destined from this before the foundation of the earth was laid. But he has been made manifest in these last days for you. It is through him that you now believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that you will fasten your faith and hope in God alone. Now, because of your obedience to the truth, you have purified your very souls, and this empowers you to be full of love for your fellow believers. So express this sincerely love toward one another, passionately and with a pure heart. For though the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again, and this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but will live and grow inside of you forever. For human beings are frail and temporary like grass, and the glory of man fleeting like blossoms of the field. The grass dries and the withers and the flowers fall off. But listen to this, the word of God, the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was announced to you in chapter 2. So abandon every form of evil, deceit, hypocrisy, feeling of jealousy and slander. In the same way that nursing infants cry for milk, you must intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word. For this milk will cause you to grow into maturity, fully nourished and strong for life, especially now that you have had a taste of the goodness of Yahweh and have experienced his kindness. And this is where we get, you should love the word of the Lord. You should have an appetite for the word of the Lord. You should hunger for the word of the Lord. There should be newness of the word of the Lord in your life each and every day. This is a place where you've been hearing us talk about knowing the word and getting the word in you and being relevant into the word. You know, you should just be for the word. You know, as we talked 2 weeks ago about the fallowed ground, and sometimes we get away from things that God has called us to, and we need to break those things up. And I hope you guys are breaking that fallow ground up and get back to the callings that God has established in your life. For years and years, you have laid those things aside and you've left them there and you've not used them for the glory of the Lord. And God is saying, man, it's time to use them for the end time move of God. And then last week we talked about believing and faith, and faith and believing, and what that really means is faith is put to action, and believing just sits there. But when you have faith, you put it into action. So that's what he's saying. He's saying love and love the word and put that into action in your heart. So in verse 4 he says, so keep coming to him who is living, is the living stone, through though he was rejected and discarded by men, but chosen by God and is priceless in God's sight. Come and be his living stones who are continually being assembled into a sanctuary for God. For now you serve a holy priest. You serve as holy priest, offering up spiritual sacrifices that he readily accepts through Jesus Christ. For it says in the scriptures, look, I lay a cornerstone in Zion, a chosen and priceless stone, and whoever believes in him will certainly not be disappointed. Have you guys ever been disappointed because you believe in God? Have you ever been disappointed? You might think you're disappointed because he maybe not answered a prayer for you that you think you needed to answer. But you know what? God's will is his will. His will is to heal you. It's not in your timing. It might be in his timing, but it is not in your timing. You'll never be disappointed. I've never been disappointed in the Lord. I might be disappointed in maybe the things that I think I need to see. You know, I and some of you know, I've had a vision many, many years ago of this place on fire and burning. Fire trucks show up, but the place is not burning. And that is what I still hope and faith and trust in what God showed me in that vision, that that still is not happened yet, and it's going to happen at some point in time. But as the closer I get, I'm not disappointed, but I get excited the more I see God moving in that direction. And so I await those times. I await those seasons that God begins to move in that way. And I stay steadfast in my life because of those things that I see. But I've never been disappointed in the way that I've lived my life since I found him. In verse 7, it says, as believers, you know his great worth. Indeed, his preciousness is imparted to you. But to those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected and discarded has now become the cornerstone, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock to trip over. They keep stumbling over the message because they refuse to believe it. And this they were disdained to do. But you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness and to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his very own. Imagine that. He claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. For at one time, you were not God's people, but now you are. At one time, you knew nothing of God's mercy because you hadn't received it yet, but now you are drenched with it. I love the way they put that. You are drenched with God's mercy. Verse 11, my divinely loved friends, since you are resident aliens and foreigners in this world, I appeal to you to divorce yourselves from the evil desires that wage war within you. So just let me stop there real quick. So what's going on is there's a lot of stuff going on in that area of paganism and idolism, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and they started to infiltrate that stuff. They started to be part of that. And Peter's writing this letter and said, he's calling them out of this place, come back to this place. And he says, you are aliens and foreigners in this world. I appeal to you to divorce yourself from the evil desires that wage war within you. And so their desire was to be like the people around them. And it's like, no, I'm bringing you back into this place. He says, live honorable lives as you mix with unbelievers, even though they accuse you of being evildoers, for they will see your beautiful works and have a reason to glorify God in the day he visits us. In order to honor the Lord, you must respect and defer to the authority of every human institution, whether it be the highest ruler or the governors he puts in place to punish lawbreakers and to praise those who do what's right. For it is God's will for you to to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing what is right. As God's loving servant, you should live in complete freedom, but never use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Recognize the value of every person and continue to show love to every believer. Live your lives with great reverence and the holy awe of God. Honor your rulers. Even bad rulers you're supposed to honor. Even bad ones you're supposed to honor. Verse 16. Those who are servants, submit to the authority of those who are your masters. Not only those who are kind and gentle, but even to those who are hard and difficult. This is a tough passage for me when I read this, because it goes on. It says, you find God's favor by deciding to please God, even when you endure hardships because of unjust suffering. For what merit is it to endure mistreatment for wrongdoing? Yet, if you are mistreated when you do what is right and you're faithful and you faithfully endure it, this is commendable before God. That would be so hard. That's so hard for me. I don't know if you understand that. But if I take a beating for what is doing, what is right, and I got to endure that, I am human. Man, that is tough. I don't know about you, but that's a tough word. But he's saying, endure it, because this is commendable before God. In fact, you were called to live this way because Christ also suffered in your place, leaving you his example for you to follow. He never sinned. He never spoke deceitfully. When he was verbally abused, he did not return with an insult. When he suffered, he would not even threaten retaliation. Jesus faithfully entrusted himself into the hands of God who judges righteously. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. You were like sheep that continually wandered away, but now you have returned to the true shepherd of your lives, the King, guardian, who lovingly watches over your souls. Now he wants to get in marriage, chapter 3. A side note. So when you read chapter 3 in the first part of it, this much for women, this much for men. I just wanted you to catch that. Just wanted you guys to catch that, ladies. He really wants you guys to learn. I think the husbands have the hardest one. He says in chapter 3, and now let me speak to you wives. And now let me speak to you wives. Be devoted to your own husband, so that even if some of them do not obey the word of God, this is the husbands walking away, not walking in the right way, right? If they do not obey the word of God, your kind conduct may win them over without you saying a thing. For when they observe your pure, godly life before God, it will impact them deeply. Let your true beauty come from your inner personality, not a focus on your external. For lasting beauty comes from a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is precious in God's sight, and it is much more important than the outward adornment of elaborate hair, jewelry, and fine clothes. Holy women of long ago who had set their hopes in God beautified themselves with lives lived in indifference to their own husband's authority. For example, our mother Sarah devoted herself to her husband Abraham and even called him master. And you have become her daughters when you do what is right without fear and intimidation. I love my wife because not just because she's beautiful, but because her soul and her spirit has made me better. You know, that's how we should be. But there's times of arguments, but there is honor and respect because how she lives her life. And then he goes on to husbands. He says, husbands, you in turn must treat your wives with tenderness. viewing them as feminine partners who deserve to be honored, for they are co-heirs with you of the divine grace of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So if you're a man and you're a married man and you pray, and you think you pray, and you dishonor your wife, your prayers are not answered. You're not even heard. Because you can't do the one thing that God asks you to do is honor your maid, your servant that he partnered with you. You got to be able to honor them or your prayers are not answered. And so he's like, I don't even hear you, dude. I don't even hear you. You do what I told you to do first. Men, we got to rise up and be better. We got to rise up and be the men of God that we're called to be. And then let's pray. Once we get to that place, then we pray. And then we see God move because we have turned and changed our hearts for the heart of God, the heartbeat of God. And we can demonstrate that to our wives. We can demonstrate that to our families. We can demonstrate that to our grandchildren. We can demonstrate it to the world because we are true men, mighty men of God. In verse 8, it says, now this is the goal, to live in harmony with one another and demonstrate affectionate love, sympathy, and kindness toward other believers. Let humility describe who you are as the dearly loved ones of another. Love one another. Never retaliate when someone treats you wrongly or insult the ones who insult you. But instead, respond by speaking a blessing over them, because a blessing is what God promised to give you. For the scripture tells us, whoever wants to embrace true life and find beauty in each day must stop speaking evil, hurtful words, and never deceive in what they say. Always turn from what is wrong and cultivate what is good. Eagerly pursue peace in every relationship, making it your prize. For the eyes of the Lord, Yahweh, rest upon the godly, and his heart responds to their prayers. But he turns his back on those who practice evil. You know, I think sometimes, Linwood, if you would shut those doors, please. But he turns his back on those who practice evil. So he says in verse 13, he says, why would anyone harm you if you passionately and devoted to pleasing God? Why would anybody harm you if you're passionately and devoted to pleasing God? But he says, but even if you happen to suffer for doing what is right, you will have the joyful experience of the blessings of God. And don't be intimidated or terrified by those who would terrify you. But give reverent honor in your hearts to the Anointed One, and treat him as the Holy Master of your lives. And if anyone asks about the hope living within you, always be ready to explain your faith. With gentleness and respect, maintain a clean conscience, so that those who slander you for living a pure life in Christ will have to lie. Listen to that. So people that slander, if you're living in the right way, it doesn't matter what people say about you, because they have to lie to tell something bad about you. If you live your life and you live your life well, when you go into the workplace, when you go into the marketplace, and they see you, somebody's talked about you, and I know people talk about all of us, okay? And so when you walk in and you know that you've walked into this place and people's talked about you, but your life is showing joy and love and mercy, there's not one thing that they can say bad about you, because it's all a lie, and God knows the lie. People will try to tear you down, guys. I'm telling you, people will try to tear you down, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse as we progress into the later times, as the end times. It is going to get worse because persecution is coming to the church. Persecution is coming, and you need to be ready. You need to be ready. So where was that? Oh, for it is better. 17. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if it is in God's plan, than for doing evil. Christ suffered and died for sins once and for all. the innocent for the guilty, to bring you near to God by his body being put to death. And by being raised to life by the Spirit, he went in the spiritual realm and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison. Listen to that. What do you think he did when he descended into the pit? What do you think he did? Preached the gospel. He told the demons, and he told the ones that were there in Hades all about the plan of God, all about what God was doing. He says he went into the spiritual realm and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison because of their disobedience of long ago. For during the time of Noah, God patiently waited while the ark was being prepared. But only a few were brought safely through the flood waters, a total of 8 souls. This was a prophetic picture of the immersion that now saves you. Not the baptism, but the baptism of the Spirit. Okay? Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism in water doesn't save you. It's just an outward expression of what happened on the inside of the power of God coming on you. He went into the spiritual realm, okay, because of the disobedience long ago. Verse 21. This was a prophetic picture of the immersion that now saves you, not a bathing of the physical body, but rather the response of a good conscience before God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who now is in heaven at the place of supreme authority next to God. The very power of heaven, including every angel and authority, now yields in his submission to him. Chapter 4. Since Christ, there was no chapters then, and they just said page, probably just turned to page. Or what do you call it? What was that stuff they used? The papaya, the scrolls. Since Christ, through the innocence, suffered in the flesh for you, now you also must be a prepared soldier, having the same mindset for whoever has died in his body is done with sin. If you've died, this is where we talk about when we pray, we need to die to ourselves. We need to die to those things in our life. And I'm still dying today. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I'll ever stop dying. Okay? We need to continue to die to those things, those old natures, those old mindsets. So live the rest of your earthly life no longer concerned with human desires, but consumed with what brings pleasure to God. For you have already spent enough time doing what unbelievers love to do. Living in debauchery, sensuality, partying, drunkenness, wild drinking parties, and the worship of demons. They marvel that you no longer rush to join them in this excuse of their corrupt lifestyle. And so they vilify you, but one day they will have to give an account to the one who is destined to judge the living and the dead. This is the reason the gospel was preached to the martyrs before they gave their lives. Even though they were judged by human standards, now they live in spirit by God's standard. Verse 7. Since we are approaching the end of all things, be intentionally, purposefully, and self-controlled so that you can be given to prayer. Listen to this. Prayer, and I stress prayer because everything evolves out of prayer. Preaching evolves out of prayer. Ministry, worship evolves out of prayer. Your life has to be a place of prayer. Because if you really want to move in God's nature, then you have to be dedicated to a life of prayer. You have to be dedicated to a life of prayer. And he says, listen to this. I'm going to go over verse 7 again. Since we are approaching the end of all things. Where are we at today? We're approaching the end of all things. Guys, there's so much stuff going on the earth. Don't get stagnant in what you believe. He says, we're approaching at the end of all things. Be intentional. Be intentional. Be purposeful. And be self-controlled so that you can be given to prayer. He says, above all, constantly echo God's intense love for one another. For love will be a canopy over a multitude of sin. Now, it says it a different way in the New King James, but listen to this. Echo. What's echo mean? Repeat. And repeat it. Echo it your whole life. echo it your whole life of what God has done to you and what God has done for the earth. Echo the love of God. Echo the love of God, because people don't know that the God loves them. Be compassionate to foreigners without complaining. Every believer has received grace gifts. Every one of you have received grace gifts, right? So use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of a many-colored tapestry of God's grace. Because each one of us are different, and I am not my dad, and my dad is not me. I am not Sean, and Sean is not me. He reaches people that I can reach, and I reach people that he can reach. There's a different color. There's just a tapestry of the goodness of the Lord on our whole lives. For example, if you have a speaking gift, speak as though God was speaking his words through you. If you have the gift of serving, do it passionately with the strength that God gives you, so that in everything God alone will be glorified through Jesus Christ. For to him belongs the power and the glory forever through all ages. Amen. Beloved friends, if life gets extremely difficult with many tests, don't be bewildered as though something strange were overwhelming you. Instead, continue to rejoice. For you, in a measure, have shared in the suffering of the Anointed One, so that you can share in the revelation of his glory and celebrate with even greater gladness. Even if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are greatly blessed because the Spirit of glory and power, who is the Spirit of God, rests upon you. Let none of your merit suffering as a murderer or a thief or a criminal or as one who has Let none of you merit suffering as a murderer or thief or criminal or as one who meddles. Does anybody meddle? Don't meddle in affairs of others. Don't be busybody. Don't be gossipers. Don't be that. If you suffer for being a Christian, don't consider it a disgrace, but a privilege. Glorify God because you carry the Anointed One's name. The name is on you. You know the realm, the demonic realm know you. Isn't that amazing? They know you. And you have more power than them. It's amazing. Let none of... 17. For the time is ripe for the judgment to be beginning is in God's own household. For the time is ripe for the judgment to begin in God's own household. And if it starts with us, what will be the fate of those who refuse to obey the gospel of God? We're starting to see that happening in the earth today, right? There's pastors and churches all over the nation that are falling because the judgment is happening in the church. It's going to happen with us before it happens to the earth. And he says, and if the righteous are barely saved, what will become of the wicked and godless? If we're barely saved, listen to that, the righteous, we're the righteous. We're barely saved. We're barely in. Actually, I think in the Greek it says, the righteous are harvested to salvation. Okay? That's what it says in the Greek. So then, 19, so then, those who suffer for following God, God's will should enfold their lives into the Creator, who will never fail them and continue to always do what is right. Continue to do what is always right. In chapter 5, as we finish. Now I encourage you, as an elder, an eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ, and one who shares in the glory that is about to be unveiled, I urge my fellow elders among you to be compassionate shepherds who tenderly care for God's flock and who feed them well. For you have the responsibility to guide, protect, and oversee. Consider it a joyous pleasure and not merely a religious duty. Lead from the heart. This is if you're a leader or you're a leader anywhere in the marketplace or anywhere, lead from the heart, from the heart of God. Lead from the heart under God's leadership, not as a way to gain finances, not as a way to gain finances dishonestly, but as a way to eagerly and cheerfully serve. Don't be controlling tyrants, but lead others by your beautiful examples to the flock. And when the shepherd king appears, you will win the victor's crown of the glory that never fades away. In the same way, the younger one should willingly support the leadership of the elders. In every relationship, each of you must wrap around yourself the apron of a humble servant, because God resists you when you are proud, but multiplies grace and favor when you're humble. If you bow low in God's awesome presence, he will eventually exalt you as you leave the timing in his hands. Did you hear that? He will eventually exalt you. Not when you want to be exalted, but he eventually will in his time, not in your time. So be faithful. Pour out all your worries and your stress upon him and leave them there, for he always tenderly cares for you. Be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. Listen to that. It's like he's trying to, we think devour, like he's trying to destroy your life, but he's bringing these accusations before God. He's bringing these accusations against you. That's what he's looking to devour you, but this is what he's doing. He's bringing accusations against you before the throne room of heaven. He's bringing, but look at your daughter. Look at your son. And who is our advocate? Christ Jesus is our advocate that says, hold on a minute. My blood is on top of them. My blood is over them. Now here's the thing though. His blood might be over you, but you cannot continue to live in your old nature. Then the roaring lion actively goes around saying, look, they had the blood on them, but they are living totally different than having the blood on them. Just because you have grace doesn't mean grace is upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Doesn't mean that you can continue to live in your lifestyle and be in ministry. It doesn't mean you continually live in your lifestyle and have the anointing on your life. Yeah, you have the gifts of God on you. They're irreversible. They will never change. The gifts of God that he placed on your life from the day you was born are the same. But the anointing will not be there. You cannot come from a place and stand in a pulpit. You cannot come from a place and teach our children and live in a lifestyle outside of that is wrong. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. Because the roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. That is what Satan is going to do. And he's going to the throne room saying, look at this guy. He says he's this, but I see what he's doing. God knows what's going on. Take a decisive stand against him and resist him every attack with strong, vigorous faith. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same thing. So we're still in Turkey, right? We're still in Turkey. This letter is in Turkey. And he's saying, hey, all around the earth, all around our known world, this enemy is still doing this to everyone right now. He's persecuting the church. And then, after your brief suffering, the God of all loving grace, who has called you to share in his eternal glory in Christ, will personally and powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever. That's a hallelujah moment. Yes, he will set you firmly in place and build you up. And he has all the power needed to do this forever. Amen. This is Peter saying he has all the power to restore you back up forever. And as he closes out 1 Peter, he says, I, Peter, with the help of Silas, who is considered a trustworthy, faith-filled brother, have written to you this short letter so that I might encourage you and personally testify that this is the truth. Dependable grace of God. Stand fast in his grace. She who is in Babylon, who is the co-elect with you, sends her greetings along with Mark. John Mark is who it is, who wrote the book of Mark. Mark probably came from a lot of Peter. Peter probably set a lot of tone to what Mark wrote, okay? A great one, greet one another with a kiss of peace. Peace to all who are in life union with Christ. Amen. And I read this letter today because This is what I felt the Lord wanted to share with you today, because this is how the church would have operated in that time. You're looking at 60 AD, 30 years after the death of Christ. This is how the church was operating. Letters from the disciples, letters that were written, and they were sharing the heartbeat of the church in that area. They were sharing the heartbeat, pulling them out of this scattered people, bringing them back into the place of God, bringing them back into the place of unity. Because if there is no unity, it's broken. If there is no unity in a body, then it's scattered. It's not strong at all. And there has to be unity in the body of Christ. And here's Peter bringing that unity back into the fold. He's gathering the fallen tribes. He's gathering the lost tribes of Israel. He's gathering the Jewish people back. But he's also telling us that we can't live certain ways. He's telling us that we have to walk out our salvation. He's telling us that we have to have God's love for one another. If we don't have that love for one another, are we really truly saved? When a believer is going through things, are we helping them? Are we loving them? Are we caring for them? Each one of you have gifts in your spirit. Each one of you have gifts in your body that God has anointed you with. Use them well. Use them for the glory of the Lord. I want to see the glory. And I know Melvin, he's in that place. He wants to see the glory of God. I hope all of you are in that place and praying for God. I want to see your glory. I want to see the manifestation of your spirit. I want to see this end time revival, end time move. I want to be a part of it. Not just see. So that's wrong to say, not just see. Because we have too many spectators in our churches across the earth. We have too many spectators that just want to go and see. Man, I want to be a co-laborer with God in the move. I want to be a co-laborer with God and what he's doing in the earth today. I hope that that's where you guys are at, and I hope that's where you guys feel that pulling and tugging. What can I do? What can I do for the community of God? What can I do for our community? What can I do to bring people into the knowledge and revelation of Jesus Christ today? What can I do to show the love of God to people today? I had a guy, I probably shouldn't say this and tell this, but I had a guy text me yesterday. He's came here a few times. He's kind of hit and miss, and you probably wouldn't recognize him, and you wouldn't know him, but he would pop in and pop out a week and then be gone for a year or two and pop in again, and we've helped him in the past, and I had this letter, and I haven't talked to him for a year probably or more, and he doesn't live in Terre Haute, but he lives outside of Terre Haute, and he sent me this video. I'm real, guys. I'm real. And the video was supposed to condemn me. The video was supposed to say that I wasn't this certain type of person, that I was this whatever. It was a condemning video, okay? And so I responded back with love, my kind of love, okay? A little bit hard. No, it wasn't that hard. But it was what I told him before in the past. It's the same thing I told him before in the past. And if you're not here, this is my pasture that I'm supposed to shepherd. Okay? I can't shepherd the whole world. I am not Jesus and I am not God. I cannot shepherd the whole world. And I know what most of you do, and I have a struggle sometimes knowing what you guys are all doing. Okay, I work a full-time job. I pastor, and I try to know what this flock and what this group of people are doing. This is where my focus is. And I asked the question to the guy. I says, "Where do you go to church at?" And he never responded with that answer. And then I said, "It's like this. It's like this analogy." I said, if you know, and I think this guy played baseball too, and he was younger. And I said, if you know a guy, every time he gets to bat, he pulls the ball. Every time. But you position yourself as he's not going to pull the ball. What position are you in? You're in the wrong position. I told him, if you want to be part, and you want me to be your shepherd, then come and be part of the sheep. And so then he eventually told me that he goes to church in this area. He's got a pastor. And I said, well, then you need to send this video to him. And then he deleted me. But I can only show love to, I can show him love. And I know what he wanted. I know what he needed. Pretty much he wanted just me to give him some help, which I could have. I could have gave him some help. I've helped him before. But it goes back to the same place that he was at. And it goes back to the same place because we've helped him multiple times. And there's no change. Now, I struggle in this area, guys. I'm just telling you. I struggle. And I'm a pastor, and I'm struggling in areas like this. And I don't know if you guys do or not, but people, I feel, take advantage sometimes. But when I read the Word, it's like I'm supposed to help, but I can only do so much. And the whole church, I mean the whole church, other churches around this area have pastors, a place that they pastor to. You know, there's fields that they pastor. They take care of those places. They can't take care of everybody. You have to come into the church. You have to come and be part of that church. You have to come and serve inside the church. You have to come and be a part of the body of Christ. You have to come in. And I really believe it. And this is where I am, even with our finances here at Calvary Temple. You guys bring money. You bring your treasures to the storehouse. And if you are in need, just the people in this place, we're going to help you. We're going to help you. That's just all there is to it. But if you do not come to this place, I have a hard time struggling to help you. I'll help you once. We had a lady come in a few months ago, and we helped her 2 weeks in a row. We gave her quite a bit of money. They came in twice, and I said, "You come and be part of this church. You come in and be part of this church. They ain't got nothing else to do. Come in and be part of this church. Come in, sir. Come in and just hang out with us, because I don't want to just give you fish. I want to teach you to fish, right?" And they know what they need to do, but choose not to do it. I love them. I have compassion for them. But they choose not to walk into the church. They choose to live their life how they want to, but only grab a hold of what they can want. I struggle with that, guys. I struggle with that. But inside this church, inside this family, inside this body of believers, we're here for you. We're to help you. Whatever you need. That's why it's just not to pay the bills in this place. It's not that. That's why we hardly take any pay here because it's about to serve the people. This is what it's about, is take the gospel outside of these doors. It's about to take the gospel to show Christ's love to the community, to show Christ's love to you. If you're in need, just holler at us. Let us know. Because this is what we're for. Amen. So I'm just real and open before you. I'm honest. I have a heart for this guy, but I struggle with, if you want to live in the world and only come to the place of life when you think you need some life, and then you go walk away and you go back and live in the world again. You know, you're probably not reading your word. I can't say he's not reading his word, not doing stuff, but his life has not been godly up until the point that I know of. Anyway. Use your talents and giftings in the church. If you want to be a pastor, you kids want to be a pastor someday, or you want to be a teacher someday, start going back and helping the kids teach. Before you can stand in a pulpit, before you can stand anywhere, you gotta go back and teach the kids. You know, you want to play praise and worship kids, you guys want to get on the platform, anybody wants to get on the platform, then come and be part of that team. Come in, not only just be part of the team of playing, but this should be a lifestyle. I came in and we talked last week about what worship is and how do you worship, and we allowed the team to talk to each other. And because maybe we get so bound up, and I don't want to be too long, but we get so bound up of not wanting to show our emotions or show who we are. And I think we need to show who we are. Because the true nature of who we are is when we just take our chest open and open it up and say, "Here I am." You know, I humbly, here I am. And this is where we need to be. And the church needs to, people in the outside of the church need to see who we really are. I'm strong and mighty in the Lord. I am strong and mighty in Him. I am a mighty warrior in Him. So, use your giftings. Use your giftings in the marketplace. Use your giftings in the street. Have the heartbeat of God just constantly working, knowing that He loves you and He loves you and He loves you. Be passionate about prayer. Be zealous for the things of God. Be passionate and zealous for things of prayer. But if you're praying and you're not living out like Peter said, if you're not adoring or honoring your wife, why pray? You ain't gonna be heard. It's just loose lips. But by your actions, by what you do, I hope that resonates, 1 Peter resonates with you today. I hope you got something out of it today. I think this is what the Lord wanted to speak today. Even though it might have been a little bit long, it's 5 chapters, but man, there's some good stuff in there. And you think about those 2,000 years ago that this letter went through all the churches, and they were excited that Peter was bringing a letter. They were excited that the letter was Peter, the one that walked with God, that the one that denied him. And here he is. He wrote us a letter. Man, that's exciting. Let's pray.